is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Coast to coast. All over North America. Shout outs to our friends in Canada. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I'm being joined by super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He's in New York City. And I'm only going to be here for one more hour. It sucks. I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I won't be here tomorrow, though. Not tomorrow. Took a vacation day. Why not? It's the holiday weekend. And so let's have some fun. We've already had a fun show. We talked about a few things. Brandon Ayuk finally got a contract. He's making $30 million a year. 4-year extension with the 49ers. Did all that complaining on social media, all that asking for a trade. And well, he got what he wanted, a new contract. Ja'Marr Chase, no new contract. We don't know his status with the Bengals. New England Patriots got themselves a starting quarterback. Jacoby Brissett is going to take the beating instead of Drake May to start the season. Hassan Reddick still not at work. Trent Williams still not at work. Jalen Hurts says he has more responsibility now with Jason Kelce gone, not ordering everybody around at the line of scrimmage. Now Jalen Hurts can do it. And thank you to our guests. Armin Katayan, his new book, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. Speaking of chaos, right now, North Dakota State is beating Colorado 17-14. And Shedeur Sanders was grabbing at that calf. It looked like he ripped anything. He just needs some water, needs some salt, needs some Gatorade, needs some pickle juice. It looks like he wasn't hydrated. I don't know. I know the air is dry up there in Boulder, but I mean, damn. Kind of sucks to be cramping now in the second quarter. Anyway, North Dakota State has the football. And we'll see what they do. I expect this game to end up 40-something to 40-something. I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep you up to date with the Buffaloes as the show continues on. Like I said, I'm only here for one more hour. Thank you to everybody tuned in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. Everybody tuned in on the free Odyssey app, SiriusXM, channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, you ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. You can find me online if you want to. I'm at JR Sport Brief. Not a difficult person to find at all. You know what? Let's walk through some of the news that we have witnessed today. Let's start off. Hickey, where do we start with Brandon Ayuk, the guy who cried wolf?
Yeah, I think it's a good place to start. That's the big news of the day.
All the complaining, all the whining, all the trade requests, all the I want outs, ultimately to end up with, well, what he wanted, a new contract. $30 million a year. Brandon Ayuk gets to compete for championships with Deebo Samuel. He'll probably be the next receiver to go. Well, realistically, he probably will get the boot eventually. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Brock Purdy, and Trent Williams, whenever he shows up to work, Brandon Ayuk got the bag. And John Lynch, it was only about yesterday that John Lynch was telling everybody, listen, if you play here in San Francisco, it is wide receiver heaven.
It's a fun place for receivers to come and thrive. And whatever your best is, I think you'll find it here.
Okay. Well, go win a championship, right? Go do that. San Francisco 49ers are one of the best teams in the NFC. It shouldn't be too difficult for them to go out there and do some damage. This really sucks for the Steelers. There's no Ayuk. This sucks for the Browns. There's no Ayuk. And reportedly, the Cleveland Browns offered him the most money. He didn't want to go. He's taking $30 million to stay in San Francisco and compete for a championship. Speaking of competing for a championship, Jalen Hurts is trying to compete for a championship. And he was on the radio today. WIP in Philly. Jalen Hurts was asked about his responsibilities going forward with no Jason Kelce. You know, Jason Kelce is one of the best centers of all time. He's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He has a podcast with his brother. They just signed a $100 million production deal. And now Jalen Hurts says, I can grow? Well, he didn't say that. He says, my growth was halted playing with Kelce. What? Listen to this.
This upcoming season and what you may have seen from years past is just different autonomy in different places. You know, we had a great player, Jason Kelce, who took on a lot of responsibility. And as a result of that, I was told not to worry about a lot of things. My eagerness to learn and all of that over the years, you know, kind of was halted because of who we had. But now times are different, and I'm excited for that journey.
Halted, probably the wrong word. My eagerness to learn was halted? That just doesn't sound good at all. Well, I'll tell you what will be halted if they don't have success. Nick Sirianni's tenure as Eagles head coach will be done. It's not easy being a coach. Ask someone else that had to talk today, like Zach Taylor. Oh, yeah, there is another wide receiver who wants a contract. His name is Jamar Chase. There was a report out today that said Jamar Chase, he wants the same exact deal that Justin Jefferson has, making $35 million a year, except for he wants 1 cent more. Now, we don't know if that's the case. It certainly sounds like a silly story. I don't know if it's true. But I know what is true. Zach Taylor's having to make excuses. A couple of days ago, Jamar Chase practiced despite not having a contract extension. And his head coach said, well, he's back. And then yesterday, he didn't practice. And then he said, oh, I put my foot in my mouth. I spoke too soon. And today, Jamar Chase did not practice again. And so Zach Taylor had to address the media. And as they get ready, the Bengals, get ready to open up the season against the miserable-ass New England Patriots. Zach Taylor, the question was, is it difficult to devise a game plan against them with no Jamar? What?
No, it does. I mean, in this league, every week there's a different form of adversity, and you got to find the positives in it. And our team has found the positives in it and able to support a teammate, find positives for other teammates, and continue to move forward. And again, it's just, you can't waste a day complaining about a situation. Just got to make the most of it and keep it moving. And that's what our guys have done. And again, we're all on the same page. We're all on board with this thing. And so just excited to get to game week.
Yeah, and nobody worried about the Patriots. Nobody. 5 wins max for the Patriots. That's it. And today we learned who's going to be playing quarterback, at least who's going to start the season for the New England Patriots. Gerard Mayo, the first year brand new head coach, told us that Jacoby Brissett is going to lead the way. And Gerard Mayo told us why he decided to choose Jacoby over Drake May.
There are a lot of factors that led to this choice. I think, you know, the hard part is thinking in the short term and the long term at the same time. As an organization, though, we feel like Jacoby gives us our best chance to win right now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Where's the part? Hickey, remember early in the week? I mean, maybe yesterday he was saying that, oh, well, we have to develop now into the future. And why didn't he include that as a part of his answer? Now it's about winning now? What about the part about the future? What about that part?
Yeah, he said, was it, what's good for the team today may not be good for the team tomorrow? I thought he meant that Drake May was going to start. Because he's not the best option right now, but it's what's best for this team going forward, and almost kind of reverse course on those comments 24 hours before.
Well, I think he was saying that we need to protect this man for the future because we're gonna suck. That's it.
We got to protect our future. So here, Jacoby, go take a beating.
That's basically what it is. I mean, Gerard Mayo, he was asked about Drake May getting a chance to start, and he says there is keyword. There is no current plan right now.
I don't want to get into hypotheticals. You know, we can't go into the season saying, well, he's going to go X amount of weeks. Like, look, as long as Jacoby's going out there performing the way that we all have confidence in him doing, he'll be our quarterback this season.
Okay. All right. Now, let's hear from the guy that got benched, you could say, even though we know it's his job to eventually take over. Later this year, next year, I think sooner than later, actually. Drake May, you lost, man. You a quarterback number two. How you feel? Disappointed?
Yeah, I think it's been great. I think just getting to know the offense. I'll learn from guys who've been in the offense. And from here, just do whatever I can to help this team win, like I said. And then just take the young guys. I think that's kind of some of my role. I can, you know, help JP and some of the young offensive linemen and Bake. And just kind of do anything I can as a free quarterback to kind of learn the system, prepare like I'm the starter, and just treat it like that.
You disappointed you're not the starter?
I wouldn't think disappointed. I wouldn't say disappointed. Obviously, you know, there's two ways to look at it. You know, obviously, I want to play. You know, competitive edge in me. At the same time, under 10 situation. You know, kind of what's coming in here, and Jacoby's, you know, being the offense, and you got, you know, the reps, you know, with the ones all camp. So can't really say I'm disappointed, but at the same time, want to be playing.
Okay. He wants to be playing, but he's not disappointed. I don't get it. I would think if you want to play, you're disappointed that you're not. But you ain't going to be disappointed that you're not taking the abuse that Jacoby Brissett is. Well, only reason to keep up with the Patriots this year is to see whenever Drake May decides to go out there. When they decide that he's ready to get a part of the beating. We'll see what happens. Speaking of a beating, it's still early. Can't consider this a beating. Colorado, what's up with that defense? It's early. So right now, about 4.5 minutes left in the first half, North Dakota State is leading the Colorado Buffaloes 20-14. We saw an exciting touchdown by Travis Hunter. North Dakota State answered back. We then saw another touchdown by Jimmy Horn Jr. by Colorado. We saw a touchdown run by North Dakota State and a couple of field goals. And they lead 20-14. Now, it's not even two whole quarters. It's not even one full first half. But this looks exactly like the same damn Colorado team that we saw last year. It's either hit or it's miss. There's no in between. From the offensive plays, from the defense, it's either hit or it's miss. I might need a time machine to go back and compare. If this is what they're going to be all year long, and if this is what they're going to be against North Dakota State, then yeah, maybe they win 6 or 7 games, but if they can't stop anybody, they're going to get their asses kicked all year long. And Shador went down with that, it looked like a cramp. Let's see. Hickey, they got the ball. Do you think he's heading back out there?
I think so. He has his helmet on. And like you said, he was able to walk off at least. I think he'll be back out.
They look like the same team so far. What do you think?
Oh, 1,000,000%. They score a lot, and they can put up points in bunches, but they can't stop anybody. And while Deion replaced a lot of faces from last year to this year, if you look at the actual talent that he brought in, it's not that much different. You know, like a lot of the rankings, they were high in like the transfer portal rankings, not because the talent they were bringing in was high, but because just the volume. You know, they brought in 42 transfers or 44 transfers, but they didn't, outside of just changing the face and literally bringing in new people, I don't think they upgraded many positions. And you're seeing so far, defensively especially, there was no change for the most part last year's defense and this year's defense.
Wow. We heard this yesterday in our conversations we had on our own guest who's based out in Colorado. Mark Kisler joined us from the Denver Gazette. And they're so amazing, just amazing catch. And Joe Horn Jr. Mark Kisler told us that this could go either way. Like, he wouldn't be surprised if it went either way, if they did good or they did bad. And this is, I guess this is just what Colorado is, and this is one reason to pay attention. I mean, out of all the stories, all the teams that can legitimately win a championship, a national championship, we know the Buffaloes ain't winning one, but they're just an interesting storyline. Are they going to hit? Are they going to miss? Are they going to suck? We'll find out soon enough. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, speaking of hitting, there's a woman. Yes, a woman. She's breaking records. And man, she's garnering respect. She's not telling people to kiss her ass. But the way she's playing, Oh, people are starting to respect her. I'll tell you who she is on the other side of the break. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. As we keep up with the college football season, there's a young lady that just left college, and she is already starting to dominate in the pros. To the shock of no one, her name is Caitlin Clark. Coming off of that Olympic break, her Indiana Fever team that started the season a pathetic 1-8 have now improved their record to 15-16, and Caitlin Clark continues to take her game to a new level. The Connecticut Sun are one of the best teams in the WNBA. They have smacked around the Indiana Fever anytime they've played this season until last night. Indiana beat them at home 84-80. Caitlin Clark contributed 19 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. That seems to be her minimum now in every single game. Is she dropping 29 or 30 or 23? She's getting busy out there. And she's also knocking down threes. She's starting to knock down those long-ass threes with people in her face. Ask Dejanay Carrington, who wasn't too happy with some of the Fever fans last night. But Caitlin Clark was 3 of 12 from downtown. Not the best percentage, but she is cranking these threes at a historic rate. A matter of fact, she now has the record, and the record continues to grow after last night. She has the most rookies made. Did I say rookies?
She has the most rookies.
I want more rookies, too. Everybody deserves rookies. She has the most threes made by a rookie in WNBA history. She now has 88, knocking off Ryan Howard's old record here in Atlanta of 85 threes just 2 years ago. So everybody's shooting threes. And Caitlin Clark is not done. They got about 10 more games before the season is up. And she's just cranking these suckers out. Caitlin Clark she's on fire. She's going into the playoffs, too. You can bet it unless somebody gets hurt. And last night, this is what Caitlin Clark had to say about breaking the rookie three-point record.
The three-point record is cool, and I think it just speaks to the way we play offense and the way we've been playing offense, especially as of late, like just fast up-tempo. I feel like I'm definitely capable of shooting it a little bit better. Like, I feel like I've gotten some tough rolls over this course of this year, but even that last one tonight, like I felt like it was in. That one really upset me a little bit, but I still feel like I'm shooting it well. I feel like I'm taking good shots, and that's the most important thing for this team.
Hickey, it didn't take long for her to adjust. I mean, she was getting punched and slapped around, and she can't play, and she can't do this, and da-da-da. She been whooping ass, man.
Took about, what was it, like 15 games, maybe 20 games for her to get her footing, get comfortable, and all of a sudden, like you said, start punching back. I mean, that the first half of her rookie year, it's like, oh boy, okay, you know, it could be a little bit rough, a little bit of adjustment period. Maybe some of the older guard were right when they were trying to pour cold water on her coming in and being a star. But man, she has blossomed and gotten more comfortable quicker than I think really anyone thought. And like you said, like the fact that we're talking about a playoff team when they were the number one team last year in the draft, or I guess the worst team in the draft last year, and now she's turned it around this quickly is, again, just another notch in her belt. It's unbelievable.
Nah, it's fun. Not that her team will knock off, I don't know, the Connecticut Sun or the New York Liberty in the postseason, but it's going to be fun. Caitlin Clark in the playoffs, that'll be the next, I guess, big boost. In her remaining games, this is crazy. This is nuts. Hickey, I pay attention to a lot of things. To even hear television programs and radio shows, I hear other shows talking about other elements of the WNBA, and people hate to hear it. Some people do. It's because of her. And yes, she had an excellent foil in Angel Reese, but it's primarily because of her. And just to hear people talking about the WNBA here in Atlanta, Caitlin Clark was back again, I think Monday or Tuesday, and they had 17,000 people in there. The place was, I felt, sold out when I went a few months ago, and then they had even more people this week. It's cool to see the growth of the entire league. And then they're adding more teams. Toronto's getting a team. Golden State is getting a team. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It is tremendous. Everybody is boosting from it, too, which is good. Not just Caitlin Clark, but the entire league. And it looks like it's only going to get better and bigger going forward. And once she gets an actual title contender in Indiana, then, I mean, you talk about a lot of fun. Like, that's going to be a big-time story and a lot of fun to watch.
Well, they had Olympians there to watch her yesterday. Gabby Thomas, the track star, and then Simone Biles, gymnastics legend. They were both on hand. And why did they show up? I don't think they just wanted to, no disrespect, I don't think they just wanted to go to a Fever game. They wanted to see Caitlin Clark. That's amazing. In her next games, all of these games are televised. Now, I got to tell you this. These are some of the things that are mind-boggling. Hickey, I've heard of this. What is ION? What is that?
I've heard of it like a car.
Yeah, I've heard of it as a TV station. I don't know. She is taking on the Chicago Sky, which has her rival, okay, and Angel Reese. That's Friday night's game. That's tomorrow night's game. It's on ION. I don't know. Is that broadcast television? Like, what is that?
I have no idea. I don't know how you even find that.
ION?
ION?
ION. ION is the destination for your favorite binge-worthy dramas. What?
Huh. Can find it be your favorite destination if you don't know it exists?
Oh, so maybe it's over the air. So let me see. Where's ION here in Atlanta? I don't know. Channel 14? What is that?
Huh. I guess you got to tune in tomorrow and find out.
Bruh, I don't know what Channel 14 is. Let's see.
Go to TV locally here. Put on 14. See what pops up.
What is ION in New York City? What is this? Let's see. Channel 31, Hickey.
All right, hold on. I got the remote here. 31. Now, these TVs are a little wonky, so I don't know. We'll see. 31. ION. ION.
What is on, like Little House on the Prairie?
Right now, it looks like some sort of drama. It says four news. Like, this has to be not a soap opera, but like a TV show that's like a soap opera. Like a drama, I guess, is probably.
That's binge-worthy programming. Well, tomorrow on ION, you can watch Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, if you can find it. But her other games, NBA TV, CBS Network, CBS Sports Network, ESPN3, okay? NBA TV, Prime Video, look at Amazon. And then a couple of more games on ION. Uh-huh. I almost felt, well, I was walking. I was limping. I limped by a kiosk today, Hickey, that I've never seen in my life. And I had to stop and ask the lady. I said, how long has this been here? And she was watching television. I was being a jerk. I said, what are you watching? Hickey, she told me, she said she was watching The Golden Girls.
Whoa. Wow.
This young woman couldn't have been older than 25 years old. She said she was watching The Golden Girls. I was just, my mind was kind of blown.
You're just learning history?
I'm like, yo, like the last time I saw The Golden Girls, I was a kid. Like, I think all of them are gone. Not to be morbid, but aren't all the Golden, they're all gone now.
Jeez.
Well, they were old. They were the Golden Girls when the show was on. Man, it was 30, 40 years ago.
I'm just saying, I'm more just, I don't know. I guess she's trying to, get one with history and learn, you know. I don't know.
Well, The Golden Girls was good. I haven't seen it in almost 30, 40 years, but have you seen The Golden Girls now?
I have not. I could not tell you one of the gals that was golden.
Betty? Betty White? Come on,
Oh,
Betty.
She was a golden girl?
Yes. Come on, Hickey, watch Golden Girls one day. When you come to Atlanta, I will drop you by the kiosk.
and I'll binge.
And you can watch Golden Girls on this worker's phone.
Perfect. Pick me up 8 hours later.
you'll be punching.
I'll pack my lunch. Yeah, for real.
You'll be punching me like, this is what you set me up for?
This is Atlanta, huh? Wow. Fun yeah. place.
Yeah, people during work hours is sitting down watching Golden Girls on their phone. Anyway, It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Plenty to watch over the weekend. They're heading into, it's about to be halftime. Colorado's trying to score this football. But you know what? To get an update on everything going on in the world of sports, before we roll out and before I tell you about a few things that happened in sports history.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Football is here, man. We're pulling up on a holiday weekend. It's Thursday, but damn it, it's Friday for me. Can't wait to watch all the football we got going on. Games are rolling on now as we speak. Oh, my God. Hickey, Rutgers beat Howard 44-7. That was the score. 44-7.
Big one there for the Scarlet Knights.
37-point victory. Yep. I see Howard got paid, I think, almost $500,000 to show up.
All right, not bad payday.
You're taking money to get your ass whooped? That's what everybody does, but I mean, come on.
Would you rather have your ass whooped for free?
You're right. You're right. In sports, when you lose, you still get paid. You're right. Speaking of losing, Colorado is losing at halftime. Shedeur Sanders leads a 98-yard scoring drive. North Dakota State leads Colorado 20-17. In about 90 minutes, if they lose this game, Hickey, don't turn on the television tomorrow. Don't listen to anything. This is going to be story numero uno. People are going to be if they lose tonight, all the students at Colorado, they're going to be online looking to see what they're going to be. They're going to feel like crap. They're going to get destroyed.
The memes, though, if they do lose, will be incredible.
They'll win. They'll come back and win. Don't you think they'll win?
I think North Dakota State's for real.
Well, they're going to be in a shootout, but you don't think at home that in Boulder they're going to win?
I mean, their defense stinks.
You're right.
They can't stop. I don't think they got one stop.
So does North Dakota State. Deion's son, Shedeur, 254 passing yards and 2 touchdowns in the first half. Like, what are we doing?
Not bad.
Nobody is stopping nothing. The guy is on pace for 500 yards passing to go along with 4 touchdowns. And speaking of ass whoopings right now, the Kansas Jayhawks are smacking up the Lindenwood Lions of Missouri 34-0. That's at halftime. It's also 91 degrees, so they're getting their ass whooped in the heat. Yeah, these are the games I could do without a lot of these games. My Wolfpack, all my friends at the Wolfpack, they need to get it together. They're losing to who the hell is this? 17-14. Western Carolina. They're losing. Well, they're beating them, but come on now. These scores are this is the worst thing. Utah is in action. Good. They're supposed to be one of the top teams in the country. They're 7-0.
Have you seen the Arkansas score yet?
No. What is that one?
They're not supposed to be very good this year. They're playing, I think it's Arkansas Pine Bluff. Okay. It is 56-0.
No.
Midway through the third quarter.
Oh, my God. I just looked it up. Oh, my God.
It is not pretty.
What is this?
Not good.
Who was on Arkansas Pine Bluff?
I guess that's the problem. I guess you and I, people like you and I.
Where is that?
By a bluff in the woods?
By a pine bluff in Arkansas. Like, this is not... They outscored them 28-0 in the first quarter.
Oof.
21-0 in the second. They're here in the third. They only scored 1 touchdown so far, which is great. Ugh. Yeah, the Wolfpack needs to get it together. Western Carolina is hanging a little too close. 17-14, the Wolfpack is leading. My friends at NC State, they'll get it together. It's 96 degrees. Wow. Is there a game that you plan on really honing in on this weekend, Hickey? You're just going to tell me Penn State, aren't you, right?
Well, I will be sweating that one. Two games that do not include Penn State. Number one, team right in your backyard. I can't wait for Georgia-Clemson. I think that'll be a close game. Yeah, I think the Bulldogs will win.
At the Benz.
Which that kind of stinks, but that's a whole other discussion.
What stinks?
Why are we putting big games on neutral sites? That has to stop.
It's not really a neutral site.
I get it. You are right. But you know
what? Just put it at Sanford Stadium?
Yes. Stop with these games. Oh, you know, like, if you're Clemson, right, that's not a neutral site for you.
It's such a close drive, it is. What? Sanford Stadium is not. Is that what you're saying? Or
no, to
the
how
Benz?
Far is Atlanta from where Clemson is? I have no idea. It's not close. It's not as close as Georgia.
Less than 90 minutes is something I want to say. Yeah, it's not far.
Why not just play a home and home? Georgia comes to you. You go to them. Even though it's close to both schools, the atmosphere will not be as good as if it was on a home campus stadium. Stop with these. It's
so
ridiculous.
Hickey, right now it says from, and the Benz is right down the road from me. It's a 5-minute drive. It says from me to Clemson is 2 hours, which is probably only accurate because of, let's see, is there traffic? Maybe.
Interesting.
It's a little more than 90 minutes.
Okay.
It's not, Clemson is not that far. There's people that do the drive and come in all the time. Not that tough. It's actually, they want the atmosphere. They want it that way. Yeah, it's a little bit of a home game for the Bulldogs, but not that far. Clemson is just right up the road, kind of almost.
That'll be what, 70% red and black?
Yeah, 65.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm glad you got your neutral site, Clemson.
Well,
you're 65% neutral site.
I would go, but I'm not gonna.
No? Come on.
Man, it's the weekend. I need to just sit down.
It's a noon game.
So what?
So I'm saying your whole day's not shot. You're done by 3:30.
I will be in my house. I will be in my house flipping around at all the games. I don't have to wait to use the restroom, even though I'd go sit in the press box.
Arthur Blank doesn't have a toilet per person there?
I don't know.
He's fan friendly.
He needs to talk to Steve Ballmer. I don't know.
And also, you can get Chick-fil-A in the stadium for like one of the few times ever.
Man, every time that I want Chick-fil-A, I can never get it.
This is the time.
No, it's Sunday. It's Sunday.
That's what I'm saying. Saturday's the day. It's open.
No thanks.
Damn, so Chick-fil-A can't even get you off the couch.
You know what? It's psychological. And I get it. For their perspective, it's religious. People go to church, spend time with their families. I get it. But that is such a psychological move. Because you walk by Chick-fil-A on a Sunday and it's closed and you just go, man, I wish I could have some Chick-fil-A right now. And it makes you get it when you get it. It's scarcity, Hickey. It's scarcity. It's terrible.
Oh, so do you think they put it in the building on purpose then, knowing like, hey, we're going to be open maybe once or twice a year during Falcons games? But maybe the fact that people see it but can't have it will then force them when they get home the next day to go to Chick-fil-A?
No, I'm talking about all Chick-fil-A's.
No, but I know, but I'm saying like, but I know this has been talked about a lot, but like, it doesn't make any sense why Chick-fil-A is in the actual Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Why?
You use it how many times?
They're based here. Why not?
Because it's not open during Falcons games, which is the main reason why you go to that stadium.
They're open for other things.
Sure, soccer, and in case, you know, the
Beyonce,
SEC title game. Beyonce. Okay. What would you say, 15, 20 times a year that Chick-fil-A is up and running?
It's not hard to open up a Chick-fil-A. Come on. What do you say? Come back on Thursday. We might have a game? Like, what do you do?
Yeah. Like, why are you going to put a stand in a stadium that is literally open like 1% of the time? Seems like bad business to me.
It's like putting a water fountain in a desert?
No.
That makes sense.
Well, a water fountain that's not connected to anything, sure.
Oh, okay.
Like a tease. Come back when it rains one time every 10 years.
Yeah.
come back the one time the Falcons have a Monday night game.
Well, you enjoy the football. I'll enjoy the football from my house. And that'll be it. And you, when is your show this weekend? You got a special time because of the holiday? What's going on here?
Yeah, 12 hours earlier, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. now on Sunday. One time only. So make sure you get your tickets and check your schedule accordingly.
10 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Obviously, that is Eastern Standard. Are we in Standard Time? I never get that one right.
EST, yes.
We are? Okay. Eastern Standard Time.
When Chick-fil-A will be closed, but Orion Hickey will be open.
That's right. Oh, I like that.
You like marketing. Use that on Sunday.
I think I might. I like that.
Say, Chick-fil-A is closed, but Orion Hickey is open. Here I am. Now, we are not open right now. We are about to close. But before we do that, it's the end of the show. And so, thus, it is time to tell you, well, I'm about to tell you about one thing that happened in sports history. And let's just say it's not a nice thing. Listen.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. All this money talk, players all over the place getting paid. Brandon Ayuk finally gets a contract with the San Francisco 49ers. He's now making $30 million a year. Steph Curry tacked on 1 year to the remaining 2 years of his contract. Steph Curry, in the last year of his deal when he is 39, he's going to be making $62 million as a professional athlete. Whoa. That's a lot of bread. But unfortunately, this day in sports history, August 29th, if we go back to 2013, a judge ruled the NFL had to pay $765 million to settle the lawsuit dealing with players' health issues. This was crazy. This was about more than 4,000 players dealing with concussions and brain injuries. Of course, the NFL, they have to pay the money, but they did not admit that they knowingly concealed the danger of repeated head injuries from the players. I want you to take a listen to this from the Associated Press.
A federal judge says the NFL and former players have reached a tentative settlement over concussion-related lawsuits. $765 million has been awarded to fund health screenings, medical compensation, and research. Thousands of former players are eligible. Individual awards would be capped at $5 million for men with Alzheimer's disease, $4 million for those diagnosed with chronic traumatic encephalopathy after their deaths, and $3 million for players with dementia. The NFL says Commissioner Roger Goodell told lawyers to do the right thing for the game and the men who played it.
A drop in the bucket. Anything the NFL has ever had to worry about from a legal perspective, they just pay the money and just keep it moving. Is it a matter of race and Kaepernick? Is it, I don't know, head injuries of the athletes? They just pay to make it go away. They're trying to approach a revenue of $25 billion a year. Man, we love violence here in this country. We love violence. We do. Watching violence right now, organized violence in college football and NFL football, organized violence on its way too. Hick, you like violence, don't you? You do.
Oh, yeah. I love violence. Not being a part of it, of course. Yeah. I like watching from a far distance.
A far distance. Yep. But listen, people. The JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network is done for this week. I'll be back on Monday. No, I won't. I'll be back on Tuesday. Hickey, I'm telling lies. What am I saying?
Don't cut your vacation short now.
I'm not. I'll be back on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. If you want me for some reason, I'll be tweeting about football at JR Sport Brief. Hickey, where can they find you, man?
Ryan_Hickey and the number 3.
And Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday, but Ryan Hickey, he's open. What time?
10 a.m. Eastern on Sunday.
Love it. Absolutely amazing. And I love everybody for listening. We appreciate you. We've had some amazing guests. Thank you to Lucas Weiss from The Athletic. Came through to talk tennis. Naomi Osaka eliminated. Sucks for her. Thank you oh so much to Dale Ellis, NBA sharpshooting legend, came through to join us. Thank you also so much to Armin Katayan, 11-time Emmy Award winner, 6-time New York Times bestselling author, to talk with us about his game called The Price, focused in on college football. I hope you have an amazing weekend. I will be back, as I said, on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You have been locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You should not move. You should not go anywhere. Don't go. Bart Winkler is coming up next. You'll be smooth, be cool, be safe, and be well. Thank you so much to Ryan Hickey.